Track 3. 15 years ago, Norfolk man Steve Eggleton was inspired to create a pilgrimage route spanning the widest part of the United Kingdom, from Lowestoft at the most easterly point to St David's in Pembrokeshire in the west. And it's for walkers to take in the beauty of the environment, enjoy companionable conversation and gain perspective from the everyday concerns of life.
A way of blessing. For hundreds of years, people have enjoyed taking a long walk along a defined route through a landscape, whether as a challenge, a means for contemplation, or in order to gain inspiration or revelation. Since the Middle Ages, pilgrims have processed to Walsingham to remember a vision of the Virgin Mary. Schoolchildren are taught about the company walking together in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And these days, there are sponsored hikes from Land's End to John O'Groats, or Robin Hood's Bay to Whitby, or along Hadrian's Wall, and many others. Indeed, this month, the film of the best-selling memoir The Salt Path is released, showing how a walk for one couple along the southwest coast path brought healing of mind, body and soul. Taking in beautiful scenery and historic landmarks, new paths are being added all the time, and more people are discovering the benefits of slowing down, appreciating our environment and taking gentle exercise. 15 years ago, a Norfolk man was inspired to create a pilgrimage route called the Via Beata, spanning the widest part of the United Kingdom, from Lowestoft at the most easterly point to St David's in Pembrokeshire in the west. Along its length of around 400 miles, there are Christian artworks located at intervals in way stations, places for walkers to rest and be refreshed. The name means the way of blessing. And the hope is that all those walking the path will be touched by the beauty of the environment, enjoying companionable conversation and gaining perspective from the everyday concerns of life. People once believed that going on a pilgrimage would absolve them from sin, says Steve Eggleton. Our prayer is that when walking the Via Beata, pilgrims will discover God loves them. A committed Christian, Steve is also an artist, sculptor, writer and teacher and lives in Banham. He first realised the impact of public works of art when he was asked to create a village sign for the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977. I'd never seriously done carving before, he says, and I had to borrow some tools to do it, but it was a success and then I got asked to do another one and more. Commissions continued from all over the country, but Steve felt that the message of celebration was soon lost after the initial unveiling. He wanted to create something more long-lasting and meaningful. I've always been strongly influenced by medieval carving, he says. People then were living in a time when the truth of the gospel was hidden from them, so the wood carvings and the stained glass windows were opening the door to give them a simple understanding of the gospel message. He recalls the carved bosses in the rafters of Norwich Cathedral. Anybody could lay on their back and read the Bible from the beginning to the end by looking at the ceiling. In the year 2000, Steve had visited an exhibition at the National Gallery. It was called Seeing Salvation, and there were images of Jesus throughout history. It was a wonderful exhibition, but what really moved me was that about 4 million people went to see it. People were looking at the artwork so reverently, and I thought I'd love to do something that would touch people with works of art. It made me realise that today, when we don't have time to read and consider things properly, people will still take time to ponder a work of art. He was then asked to design a small memorial pavilion for a cemetery in Hampshire, where relief carvings told of hope in Christ. It was so well received that Steve wanted to create more places of contemplation in other locations. I had a vision for wonderful artwork stretching across the country. I love outdoor expressions of the gospel. I think going into a church and shutting the door and keeping everybody else out is crazy, but I didn't think then of people walking to see them. He plotted a route where these artworks might be situated, and in doing so discovered that the line from east to west went directly through his own property in Banham. So, in the summer of 2009, the first way station was erected at his home, Rowancroft, just down the road from the famous zoo. It's an open wooden structure, rather like a large bus shelter, at the entrance to Steve's garden, just off the main road. Inside, above a bench, the parable of the prodigal son is presented in warm, cheery figures, which have been carved and painted as a triptych. A board beneath this image tells the Bible story and gives its meaning, as well as a link to the Via Beata website, where people can find walking guides and details of other way stations being added to the route. The aim is for there to be a way station every 10 miles, linking by existing footpaths and rights of way. Each way station is different and installed by the local church or community. It may be a purpose-built shelter in a garden or a field, or even a pub car park, or it could be a church porch or simply a bench. Somewhere at the way station is a piece of artwork, a sculpture, a carving, or a painting, which displays some words of scripture for people to view and consider. There's a lovely vicar who has summed up the Via Beata as easy-to-read, accessible theology, says Steve. That sounds like a contradiction, but that is what we're about. Simple messages telling the love of God. Many of the artworks are being created by the church and community groups themselves, although Steve often provides guidance and instruction. Our initial thought was that we would be commissioning artists to create pieces to place along the route, but increasingly we're working with churches, group projects and Christian events to make them. Certainly the Via Beata is proving more than a blessing for walkers. Everyone involved in the initiative can benefit, Steve says, whether creating the artworks or providing hospitality along the way for the pilgrims. Many of the way stations are near places offering accommodation, but some hostels and churches are providing simple food and places to sleep. Ordinary people are also opening their doors to people who might be passing through. It's an opportunity to show kindness and to build new friendships, says Steve. Already, the Via Beata has proved a focus for groups seeking to raise awareness for a cause or to help members of their community make bonds and achieve healing. There were two missions who set out on the same day, one from Lowestoft, the other from St David's, to meet together in the middle of England. A group of homeless people walked the route to raise funds and awareness for the homeless charity Emmaus in what they called the Walk of Kindness. And a group of vulnerable women in Norwich met together at Steve's workshop to learn how to carve their own piece of artwork for the Via Beata. This simple idea brings huge rewards. Walking in a new place and at a slower pace means you notice more about your surroundings, absorbing every village, town and landscape, and each individual that you meet along the way. And you don't need to embark on the entire 400 miles of the route to enjoy the Via Beata.